about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carlin and the Bot. It's a kind of not rainy day, but it's kind of overcast, and we're here from the magnificent KCNR 1460 studios, joined by Bad Bob.
What a great time of year, let me tell you.
Well, so how close are we from the top of the dam with water?
I've got to check that. We didn't do a lot the last couple of days on the weather front, so I'm going to check with my local meteorologist, my in-house meteorologist, and find out what the latest is.
Your in-house meteorologist, meaning Mrs. Belongi.
Well, you know, we had
the wife, had the spouse.
We had an inch and a half of water. Of rain since Sunday, and then Chico's had 2 inches, so we must be getting close. And speaking of getting close, here she is, Linda Bott.
Well, good morning. You know, it's going to be partly sunny today, and our forecast looks like we are going to have wonderful weather for cool April nights. I'm certainly hoping we are. Tonight's mostly cloudy with a low of around 43. But today's going to be a high of 61. A couple people I want to thank, and then also always want to thank you for your emails. Send your emails and let us know what's going on. Of course, we're going to take this first hour to tell our listeners what's going on as far as fundraising things in town. Of course, this is the big week for Cool April Nights, but there's some other alternatives, such as the Quilter Sewing Society of Reading is going to host a festival of quilts on April 17th and 18th at Anderson Fairgrounds. The show hours are Saturday from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 10 to 4. The public is invited to view this beautiful assortment of quilts, including traditional vintage piecework as well as innovative art quilts. So there's going to be a featured guest award-winning quilter, Elaine Miller of Reading. She's been quilting for over 14 years, has made over 100 quilts. And so, I mean, if you're a quilter, which I'm not, but I do appreciate them, this is something to do. If you want to do something other than if you're not a car buff or the hot rods, that kind of thing. Also, we want to remind you that on Friday night, the 16th, there's going to be Rick Hill and Pat Karch and myself and Lou White and some musicians that are going to be doing an evening of jazz. And Tobacco and Brew is going to bring out cigars. So we're going to have an evening of jazz, cigars, and wine and food out at Anselmo's from 6 to 9. So come and join us there if you want to have an alternative to the cruise. Currently 47 degrees. How are you this morning, sweetie?
I'm there. It's we've got 18.13 feet from the top of Shasta Dam, which means that's great. And it's 301 miles of shoreline.
You have to make me a promise.
What's that?
This year, we go on a houseboat. Never been. Never have been. I want to talk about the experience. I think we should do a weekend houseboat trip.
I think that sounds like a good idea. And we'll put a life preserver on Snooki.
Speaking of Snooki, this morning on Fox, they were talking about the New Jersey governor, and they said you've been compared between Snooki and President Reagan. How do you feel about that?
Snooki.
Snooki. Well, she's a there's a new television series out, and it's a New Jersey, so she's a pretty tough broad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, and her name is Snooki with an I. Want to say some thank yous.
Okay.
Trudy and Mark, thank you so much for supporting us and being good friends. Thank you. And thank you, Karen, from Chameleon Costumes. You'll be checking out the websites. You probably have seen them on Facebook. Carl's Walk a Mile in Her Shoes, and his hat and his boa and his pearls and his shoes were all donated from Karen Bosman from Chameleon Costumes. So thank you for that. We have some incredible people in our community.
Well, we also like to thank Missy MacArthur, because last Friday we were having our internet show, and we were going to just have an open line. And Missy showed up just to see who what was going on, and we put her on the mic for 30 minutes. Now, here's a city councilwoman who stood up and gave her thoughts on things. She defended certain areas of what was going on in the city. She agreed with others. But anybody that just walks in and steps up like that has got a lot of chutzpah, I guess they say. And we appreciate that. Now, today's show, well, it could be that because I don't know how to pronounce that, but I'm sure I'll get a phone call later on about it.
Spell chutzpah.
Okay. Anyway, today on the show, we're going to have more from Cool April Nights, Barbara Harrison. And then at 8 o'clock, we're going to have Greg Mann from the Tea Party. We're going to have both Tea Party groups here this week, the leaders of both Tea Parties, so we can discuss everything that's going on and discuss articles that have been in the paper. What is the Tea Party doing in Reading? What are their plans? And where are they going? This is Carl on the Bottom, Free Fire Radio, right here in KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Here speaking with...
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here, 605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com. We have new Facebook pages. We have Twittering that we're doing. You know, what's happened? You know, do you remember not that long ago when you didn't have a cell phone? When the big thing was if you had a pager? And then if the pager would go off, and then you find a phone, and you make a phone call. Okay, now here's things that I'm glad I didn't buy into. I mean, I've bought into strange things, but one of them was, oh, why don't you just buy a route of pay phones? And you can do that. I mean, you could, you know, they cost so much, and that area is yours. And I could have bought thousands of dollars worth of pay phones. And, of course, that was right as the cell phone started. Another one I could have bought into, and this was another one of my favorites, was those kiosks where you can print up your own digital pictures. And I was looking into that, and I figured, oh, yeah, I could get I could get a franchise for a university. I could do this, and I could do this. And then I was asking people, and some people were saying, that sounds a pretty good idea. That's a pretty good idea. And then somebody said, oh, I get mine down at, you know, and you can just fill in the name of the big box store for 10 cents a piece. And I was going to have to charge 25 cents. So I figured that was probably not another good deal to get into. But I turned down those two deals.
Well, in the news today, I know that, you know, forgive me, is it skeet shooting or what's the team that you're on now?
Trap shooting.
Trap shooting. Well, there's an article out that talks about ammunition. And as you know, we've gone through a winter season. A wonderful winter season because, as Bob said, we're just 18.13 feet from the lake being completely full, which is fabulous. But for ammunition storage, it's just a little reminder. Ammunition should be generally stored separately from firearms in a cool, dry area. It should not be accessible to unauthorized people, especially children. Keep the ammunition in the factory box or carton so that it can be properly identified. Extreme high temperature, such as those found in the attic or the trunk, because we know, you know, sometimes we forget, should be avoided. You should wipe your fingerprints from the ammunition, as the acids, chemicals, and salts from fingerprints can result in corrosion. Excuse me. Also, storing ammunition in leather cartridge belts can result in corrosion due to the acids in the leather.
Have you ever seen the ammunition that turns green after a while?
Don't submerge your ammunition in water or expose it to solvents, petroleum products, including gun oil or other chemicals. Water may penetrate a cartridge and cause the primer and or powder to deteriorate.
Powder. Okay.
So I just, you know, I think it's really important as we get ready here for spring and people are going to be doing activities. We're going to be talking about muscle strains and what to avoid, such as proper storage of your ammunition.
Hey, you remember after Proposition 8 passed, and then the outcry on it, and they said that the groups were going to get together to qualify a measure that would repeal the California same-sex marriage ban for the November ballot. Didn't make it. The gay rights activists who said they were going to do that, the Restore Equality chairman Sean Bohawk says the volunteer-run group fell short of gathering the needed 695,000 signatures to put it on a ballot. So they're not quitting, though. They're going to try it again for 2012. Plus, there is a lawsuit to overturn Proposition H is also pending right now before a federal judge. You know, I think that surprises me in a way that they couldn't get 695,000 signatures in the state of California. I wonder what that's indicative of. There's, you know, it's indicative of because people don't want to change it, which kind of makes sense to me. Is it because they weren't organized? Is it because people believe
tired?
That the you know, that Proposition 8 was right?
How about people are just tired and haven't paid attention because it's been done? Do you think it's over, but it's not over?
And it's still in your face, and, you know, there's been an election, and how much longer do you go, and how much more, you know, how many more times to be jumped through hoops?
So what's the bottom line here, Carl?
No, the bottom line is it stands, Proposition. And it's right in front of a judge, and people say, well, is that going to be, you know, is the judge going to overturn it? I don't know. They have not overturned it before on elections like this. But it should be interesting. Bob's over there mumbling. What you got, Bob?
I would say no judge who wants to keep his job since the people have spoken.
Well, it hasn't stopped judges before. In some cases, you know, they've made remarkable decisions, as have our lawmakers, even though the people have spoken. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. Our guest at 7:30 is, again, we're pushing cool April nights as weak as we should. The weather's clearing up. We're going to be having a lot of show and shines. We're going to have a lot of things going on. Barbara Harrison is our guest at 7:30. Carl Lindabot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Steve Lafferty will be hosting a journey to guide you as a listener to examine your stories, the stories you narrate in your mind about everything you do, the stories you tell yourself about the words and actions of others.
You have been taught to dream your life. You dream your life through your beliefs, but these beliefs are not your choosing. Discover how to shift those dreams from the ones that have been offered to you to the dreams that you long to experience. Come join me Sunday evenings at 9 for Dream Shifting, brought to you by the Northern California School of Theta Healing, thetaspirit.com.
Hot cars.
And cool April Nights is back at the Reading Convention Center for the 21st annual Cool April Nights Car Show, April 14th through the 18th.
It's a week jam-packed with over 2,000 classic cars on display, the cruise, and rock and roll concerts all week long.
Discount advance sale tickets on sale now.
Good morning. Yeah.
Yeah, welcome back.
Good morning, Reading. 47 degrees outside. The time is 7:23. If you're just waking up, this is Carla Lindabot here on Free Fire Radio. And coming up after at 9 o'clock is Dennis Miller. Well, we got some scoop on Dennis Miller. We'll have to talk about that later. But right now, do you know what's in the news? It's just, it's so funny. I love to do the little trivial things. Do you have any idea that, I mean, how many people have you known, if you're a husband, a boyfriend, a father, that women are affected by a bad hair day? Seems that they did a telephone poll for over 1,000 women, and it said that over 44% of women, their mood has been affected by a bad hair day. They've actually cried after getting a haircut, and a third have regretted a style change. Isn't it interesting how much our hair becomes our, you know, the image of who we think we are?
Well, you know, you can take care of that via going to boot camp, because if your hair is who you are, it's soon laying in your lap and on the ground. But so you wouldn't have that problem. And that's a great segue.
Well, yeah. I just think it's an interesting concept.
Have you ever cried because your hair was done badly?
I've had my hair actually where I colored it and it fell out in chunks. And I had to go perform. And, you know, I didn't master, like, falls and hair pieces at that time. And I went to go have some blonde streaks, and I must have spent 4 hours at it. Somebody recommended this hairdresser who was supposedly, like, this guy that did stars at NBC when I was in L.A. I was probably 20. But, my hair fell out in chunks. And all I can tell you is that I've been every color but primary. So I've gotten to the point where I get some pretty hardcore. It's been short and black, short and platinum, long and red. It's been everything. So, but I understand how if you have this visual of your long flowing brown hair and you have the, you see, you know, somebody from Dancing with the Stars and you want your hair or, you know, whoever, you know, I really like that look. You know, it's amazing how that really psychologically affects you. And here is a study on that. Okay. Let's go to the phones. Good morning, Jay. How are you? You're on KCNR. What about hair?
Well, I started losing mine when I was 16 because my mother's side's a bunch of cue balls, and my dad has a full head of hair, and he still laughs at me. And, you know, my basic view on it is God is good, God is fair. Some you gave brains, to others you gave hair.
Okay, well, thank you, Jay, for that.
That's great.
I mean, we were talking about doing all these things with our hair, and you know what? I just don't do anything that makes it get up and go away. You know, what little I got left, I'm treasuring, you know? Because my double turnout is turning into a cul-de-sac far too quickly. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you.
Jay, you just made our day for us. We started a little bit slow this morning when parts of our technology just weren't working in the office there.
Your technology is working.
Well, yeah, you know, but the printer. You know, when the printer doesn't work, And then, so you've got done all this work on what you're going to be talking about and all these things you found, and it just, there it is. It just stays there. It's laying on the desk inside a computer.
Oh, yeah, but look at what we found. We found these wonderful little articles.
Right.
Love it.
Well, you know.
Go ahead. By the way, we did.
Why'd you say go ahead if you were going to just keep talking?
Well, because you were going, buk, buk, you didn't get in there fast enough.
Buk, buk, when am I think I'm a chicken?
Yeah. Buk, buk, buk. Pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk. Okay, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Smart meters. Hey. PG&E is putting smart meters in. You know, we got an email from somebody who said, what are these smart meters? Now, at first I thought, well, maybe that was a mistake because, I mean, we're on REU for electricity, but not for gas. And so this is what they're doing. They're coming in. They're putting in these smart meters, my friends, and when they do, the idea is that they can then let loose 900 meter readers, which they have been doing because they've been planning on this for a while. So the last 70%, I think 70% of their meter readers right now are temporary and knew that they're going to lose their jobs. It'd be good for the economy. But the other thing, too, is supposedly these smart meters goes on your regular meter, and then they can tell up to date how much gas or electricity that you're using. So then they can come back and tell you that, hey, you know, during this time of the day, you're using a lot of electricity, you may want to cut down. Or as somebody, one of the people that comment on articles, and this was, by the way, in the Record Searchlight, is they can find out when you're using that electricity and really slam the fees to you. And somebody else said, well, how are you going to do this when we're out here in Shingletown? We don't even have cell phones, so how are you going to electronically read those? You know, so there's questions like that. And somebody else said, you know, they're just doing this to, you know, again, to make more money. And if you put tin foil over it, they can't be read. You know, I don't know if that's true or not, but it was humorous. What? Oh, Bob's shaking his head. No.
Doesn't work that way. It sends the data over the power line.
Oh. Okay, well, whoever had the idea about putting a tinfoil over it, it's not going to work. Anyway, but smart meters, another way to get into our systems to closely read. And I understand what one person said. And he said, hey, look, if you got a bill from a company for $850 and you couldn't, you know, they couldn't tell you where you spent the money, wouldn't you want to know? And in this way, they can say, this is how it was measured. This is where you used most of your, in this case, it would be gas. Since electricity is not handled by PG&E in downtown Reading and other little spots. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. I like the part about how people just don't normally trust PG&E.
Well, I think people are starting to feel that way about government. I don't want to sound like we're an anti-government, you know, gun-carrying, you know, bash. We don't want to come across that way, but it's important to pay attention. You know, it's currently 7:29, and it's 47 degrees for those of you who are just tuning in. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. Phone lines here, 605-4567, and it is 7:30. 34.
Do you believe in miracles?
Yeah, I believe in miracles. You know what? It's just what I don't believe in. I don't know if you just were listening, just tuned in. They were talking about one of the airlines, one of the feeder airlines, wants to have pay toilets on the aircraft, on the airplanes. Okay, now just besides that being a ludicrous idea, but I think that they're probably serious. Is now, remember how they started charging for if you wanted to have a bag you wanted to put on a plane? Unless of course it's Southwest, who made just tons of good publicity over saying, "Hey, we like your luggage. We're not going to make you pay." How the other airlines want you to pay to put luggage on the aircraft, you know, and then or they may give you one free, but then they charge you 25 and then 50 for any other bags you might have. So the question is that. So then people started taking and putting, you know, bringing, you know, just do carry-ons, which to me can be a real pain. Have you been sitting on a plane and people are leaning and laying on top of you and jamming? Jamming their bags above your head, and they don't fit, and it just takes like forever. And then you have stuff you put up there, and they just jam their stuff on top of yours. And if you're trying to carry something like a gift, good luck.
You have to have a lot of patience when you travel.
Well, you do, and you do. But you know, but then you had your carry-ons. But then you could leave, and you had to put up with everything you had to do to get your bags. Well, now the airlines want to start charging you for carry-on luggage. And, I mean, at what point is this going to go too far? But now, I said, oh, what's next? What could they possibly do next in Ryanair? Bob?
What you got there?
According to a spokesman for Ryanair, they want to reduce the number of toilets on board, leaving one available for 189 passengers. This would allow the carrier to add a half dozen more seats. They're hoping to change passenger behavior so they use the bathroom before or after. This is British-based Ryanair, which already levies the most fees of any airline. I know where I'm booking my next flight.
Are they going to make it a pay toilet on there? Is that what they said?
They are working with Boeing right now on design changes that will allow them to put the discount carrier that will allow them to put the pay toilets on 168 planes.
What about pregnant women? I'm just wondering.
Pay up, baby.
Well, you have to pay for two people then.
Well, you know, I could tell you that this could bring on rage, or just for guys to pass the cup.
Well, the whole thing is it's gouging again. It's just gouging. It's ridiculous. You better have used a bathroom before you leave. One bathroom for 189 people. Now, that to me seems like, you know, that should be against, you know, the health law.
Yeah, it should be.
I think if you've got 189 people, there should be X number of bathrooms you're supposed to have.
It's unhealthy.
Available, especially when you're in a, okay, picture it, my friends. You're on the tarmac for 2 hours because you're in that queue. And I think they can keep you on the tarmac for up to 2 hours. It may be less, but it could be more. But I think it's just say 2 hours. So you get ready to leave. You've got a three-hour flight. Okay. You use the restroom before you leave. Now you're out on the tarmac for an hour and a half, and then you take off on your flight, that little bumpy flight, and there's 185 of you on a plane with one toilet. How long do you think that line is going to be? At what point do you get cutties?
Well, you can sure tell the difference between a seasoned traveler and a first-time traveler. Seasoned travelers, I think, do have a tendency to be more courteous. And know what it is. You have to have patience. You have to realize you're standing in a line. You have to realize that, you know, you're in small seats. You have to really practice this kind of a Zen patience. The people next to you, I've had people kicking the back of my plane. I have flown a lot in my life. And when I used to live in Asia, in Hong Kong, there were 14-hour flights that I would take. So I can't even imagine being on a flight for 14 hours and having a pay toilet because you're up and down a lot.
I wonder how much money you can make off a pay toilet on an aircraft. But here's the other thing too: is imagine if they actually do this. If they would actually do this, and you've got like 6 kids on the plane or 20 kids on the plane, just imagine what that's going to be.
Well,
anyway, Ryanair. That's Ryanair. It's based out of England. That's one aircraft that. Everyone airline, if you know, when you get in there and you try and get the best prices, you might want to remember Ryanair, especially if you have any type of bladder problems.
Okay, now let's, also in the news, shaking of the bladder problems. If you've been feeling more shaking this year, it's not your imagination. The number of earthquakes greater than a magnitude of 4.0 in Southern California and Baja has increased significantly, you know, in this year, 2010. There's been 70 quakes so far, the most of any year in the last decade, and it's only April. There were 30 in 2009 and 29 in 2008. So seismologists are studying the uptick, but they can't explain it. But they say that they tend to occur in cycles, and experts have said that the region in recent years has been in a quiet cycle when it comes to sizable temblors. The string of quakes this year raises the possibility that Southern California might again be entering a more active seismic period. Scientists say the increase does not mean the big one is any more imminent, but could mean more significant quakes are on the way. Again, you know, when Carl and I talk about things, it's just about, you know, even here in Redding, be ready. Like, you know, glue your stuff down. You know how you get the, there's like a putty. And I think it's important to do that anyway, because I remember years ago, I think there was a nice little earthquake up in Redding and in Weaverville, where actually things fell off the shelves. So just, you know, just might be mindful, not in a fearful state, but in a mindful state of just, you know, what's happening around you. If you're just tuning in now, it's 47 degrees. The time is 7:41. And the weather is always brought to you by Ensemble Vineyards. In fact, we have our Cool April Nights people coming in Thursday, the 15th of April, out at Ensemble's. They're having a show, Shine Wine and Dine, with their burgers and their fries. Double Take will be out there. And the beautiful Beverly D'Angelo. They have 50 cars plus a waiting list. And that starts at 11 o'clock. It's going to be a great night, a great day, a great event. So, and we're going to be hearing in a little bit from more Cool April Nights events. Stay tuned. This is Carla Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR, clearly, News Talk Radio.
Market volatility seems here to stay. What does this mean for your...
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Carla Linda Bott on KCNR 1460. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com. Our phone line's here, 605-4567. It's 7:45 in the morning, and it's 47 degrees. It's overcast out there. That may be clearing later on today. At least it's not raining right now. Maybe we've seen enough of the storms. I think we're going to have maybe some more moving in later on, but right now it looks like today may clear up. Weather's brought to you by Ensemble's, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. You know, this Tobacco and Brew has been in business for over 30 years. We're at 2143 Hilltop Drive, and besides just having the finest walk-in humidor in the North State, Espresso Joe's will serve you any type of hot beverage that you can think of that they've got right there. And, you know, here's the other thing is, you know, they sell a lot of coffee makers, espresso makers, toddy makers, and all this. And if you have an espresso machine you got as a present years ago and you've never used, you don't know how to use it, take it down there. They don't care where you got it from. But what they're going to do is they're going to show you how to use it to get that best cup of coffee. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley do a lot for this community, and they are great Americans.
You know what's happening right now, that is affecting the world? I mean, we talk a lot about what's happening with, you know, in the local and our community radio. We love it. But it's the nuclear summit.
Big thing right now.
And this morning, President Obama formally opened his nuclear security summit by telling delegates from 46 other nations that this is an unprecedented gathering address to address an unprecedented threat to nuclear terrorism.
Well, of course, the idea of a terrorist getting their hands on a nuclear weapon, and nuclear weapons aren't 500 or 600, 700, 1,000, 2,000 pounds. They have some that are backpackable. Now, the question is keeping it out of the terrorist hands.
Echoing comments released earlier by the White House, Obama said that dozens of nations have nuclear materials that terrorists could buy or steal, then fashion them into a weapon. Just the smallest amount of plutonium, about the size of an apple, could kill and injure hundreds of thousands of innocent people. What? Okay, as we're driving to school and driving to work and going, what do we, Carl? I mean, you've been in four wars. Have you ever, while you represented the United States and being out there fighting for our country, have you ever felt that we were in times like we are now?
No. I think that I think that when we were going into the Gulf, that we were Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction.
And
I mean, we knew it.
There are people who will just absolutely say that that is not true.
Well, I'm talking about 1990. I'm not talking about now in Iraq in 2000. You know, in 2003, 1990, we knew he had them, and we were relatively certain that they may have, that they would have used them on us. However, a word went across that got to Hussein and said, if you use them, you know, the way that your life and everything around you will cease to exist. However, it was one of those things that, you know, it had the capabilities of killing thousands. And my fear is that when we sign a non-nuclear, proliferation treaty and a reduction, which I think is a great idea, first of all, wouldn't it be great if all nuclear weapons just went away? Wouldn't that be great? What would it take to do that? But unfortunately, it takes more than our good attitude and our good sources. And for us to do it, it takes everybody to do it. So, the world is a dangerous place. I mean, in Pakistan, they've got nuclear materials. You've got Iran right now, who just put their third centrifuge online, and it's faster than anything. So they're in the process of making a weapons grade.
North Korea
has it. Israel has it. There's China, of course. We can sign pacts and we can sign treaties, which again, it's a good start. And I'm not against. I would never be against reducing the numbers of nukes. However, you've got to also take a look at who else is out there, and do they have good intentions as we do? Are we being just a little naive when we sign these, thinking that the other countries will say, oh, well, you know what? Look, the United States is doing this. I think we could do it too. I don't see the North Koreans and the Iranians just kind of like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's just get rid of all this stuff. I don't see them doing it. And then when we say that we make the announcement, we will not attack another a non-nuclear country with our nukes, even if they attack us with chemical and biological weapons, which I believe was a statement from the White House and from Hillary Clinton. My problem with that is that a bioweapon could have a much bigger devastating effect than a nuke going off. So, there's so many ramifications to this. Yes, I applaud President Obama for getting people together and maybe taking a step, getting everybody to take a deep breath and get off the step, of nukes and maybe start reducing this and getting your arms around who's got the weapons grade plutonium or even enough that it can be made into a dirty bomb and can affect hundreds of thousands of people.
Well, who's going to go out and do that for our country if we're reducing the military?
Well, we're not reducing the military right now. We're building military up because of all this, the wars we're going through.
Are we building the military up?
Yeah, but the fact is it's not built up enough, and you're still getting equipment worn out. Whether people like to admit it or not, when Obama came in, he said he was going to take care of these wars. Well, we're still fighting two wars, and while we enlist more men and women to fight these wars, they're still doing multiple tours, and it's still costing hundreds of billions of dollars. I don't see any change. We surged into Afghanistan. You can say they're Bush wars, but it's been over a year now. He's following the same policy that Bush did in Iraq, which is not necessarily a bad policy. We're pulling everybody out, turning that over. But still, it's costing us hundreds of millions of dollars, and just thank God not as many lives. There's still some lives being taken, but not as many as it used to be. So, no, it's but at some point, the equipment wears out and the people wear out.
What do you say to those people who are the naysayers and say, really, this whole thing started over oil?
Well, You know, I kind of look back at, you know, when we went in and freed Kuwait, that, oh, that was, you know, that was for oil purposes, and the whole world got together. Well, I don't see us getting a special deal in oil. I don't see us, you know, controlling that. I mean, to say that there aren't nefarious purposes in every war, that some people aren't going to profit from it, it's not true. That happens in every war. And, you know, the thing is, you know, there's other reasons. And if you just, you know, if it comes right down, if you're just doing it for business reasons, then there's got to be another way of doing it.
Well, you being the boots on the ground and have been the boots on the ground, we got to take a break. But coming back, I'm just curious if you think that war, for some people, is war a business?
Of course it's a business for some people.
We're taking your call, 605-4567. Our show is always taking different twists and turns. 47 degrees out, currently 753. This is Carl and Linda Bott here, Free Fire Radio, clearly News Talk Radio. This is...
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's 755. And we have a great guest.
A special friend.
A special friend and guest.
Someone who you see around town who does so much volunteer work, tirelessly effort on her part for so many worthy causes here in the North State. We have the utmost of respect and admiration. Won't you please welcome
Barbara Harrison.
We both had to do it. Ta-da! Barbara Harrison. Yay!
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
And you smell great.
And I'm glad you remembered my name.
Oh,
that was
no, nice.
Dear long friend.
I wanted Carl to go so we could say it in unison, but we didn't plan it.
I did. I didn't know what you were talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great plan.
It sounded like I forgot it, but of course I didn't.
And, you know, the reason that Barbara has graced us today is that we're talking Coypel Nights. This is a big week for Reading.
Huge week.
And we had Vicki on yesterday.
Yeah, she
and,
did.
And how could you have Coypel Nights on without you?
They might do just fine. I don't know. I like to do it, and I've done it for a long time, so it's really cool.
Well, Barbara, we want to hear about your history. We've got to take a break at 8 o'clock, but okay. Before we go there, let's hear your history of how you started with Cool April Nights.
Well, been 21 years right from the beginning. There were six guys that decided, coming from a car show, they sat down and talked about it. Why don't we do one in Reading? And the things that are in the paper are absolutely true. That's how it all started. My husband, who passed away, was one of the originators, along with Dwayne, my current fiance, who I just lost, and four other guys. And they did it, and they put it together. The first year, Louis Milligan's wife, Joyce, and myself were in the back of a pickup truck taking registrations for about 200 cars in the parking lot at the convention center. And that was the first year, and that's how we got started, and it just rolled from there.
And now hundreds and hundreds of cars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thousands and thousands
sponsors
of people.
Sponsors came on board to help us, to back us with different things, and our goal was always to help children's charities. The first year we helped the police bike patrol, then after that the guys decided that they wanted to do children's charities, and it's been that way ever since.
That's great.
Yeah.
But those things, you know, they motivate you.
Oh, boy, yeah.
You know, now you and I met on a few things, but most the one that I remember the most is Make-A-Wish.
Yes, and, that's my baby.
Yeah, and how you know, it's something that makes you move. You can work 15, 20 hours just on something because it's beyond yourself. And that's a beautiful thing about what's happening here with Cool April Nights is
the giving of it is just unreal. I mean, every single one of these people that you see out there with the shirts on running around tearing their hair out some mornings, but they're all volunteers. Nobody gets paid in this organization. Everybody thinks we're wrapping in money and we're, you know, putting it away, but the only one that gets paid is we have an office gal that comes in towards the end, and she puts in a lot of hours getting registration squared around. But other than that, it's all volunteers, and everybody loves to do it, or they wouldn't be there.
You know, and you get that feeling. You know, every time we talk to somebody, every time somebody comes in, it's like, you know, this is not something that you put on in a month. This is a 10 or 11 month, get ready for event.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, and Vicki, bless her heart, you know, she had to take over for Dwayne, and she did part of it last year, and I've been trying to help her as much as I can, but she has to be out there, and she has to make herself present to meet all these people and get it all together, and she's done an awesome job. She really has. She's done a very good job.
I mean, to think about that Cool April Nights fills 5,000 rooms.
Yeah.
Wow. We still love to hear that number.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hotels, it helps the economy. They're happy. And the weather's looking pretty good. So
Yeah.
It's clearing up. That, you know, yeah. You were saying
a little sporadic, but I think we're going to be okay.
Okay, we've got to take a break here. But when we come back, Barbara Harrison is our guest, and we can't say enough about her. But, you know, we're talking Cool April Nights here. When we come back, we're going to talk about what's going on this week. What's your favorites? Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, right here in KCNR 1460. Clearly News Talk Radio.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. That's right, KCNR 1460, Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here, 605-4567. We are streaming.
And who is our guest
KCNR
today?
KCNR1460.com. Our guest is Barbara Harrison.
You guys are crazy.
Well,
who, if there is anything going on with Cool April Nights, Barbara Harrison knows about it, including where all the deep, dark secrets are. Tell us one.
I don't have one.
About Cool April Nights.
No, everything's out in the open.
Everything's out in the open. Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Right.
I don't
Except
do that.
For that, you have to work. You decorate the tents.
I do. In fact, I'll be starting taking stuff over there this evening. And tomorrow morning, I have some friends coming in to help me. And that means 2 sets of tablecloths, centerpieces, and all that sort of thing. I hope look really pretty. We have a big dinner tomorrow night for all the vendors and sponsors and that sort of thing. And then I also do the inside car show, and that has been my baby for about 10 years. I handpick the cars. I'm very picky.
Wow.
And I'm really, really excited this year. We have about 8 or 10 local cars, and I understand you have Bob Creighton coming on the air.
Yeah.
And he just finished his car, and it is drop-dead gorgeous, and he will be inside this year, too.
Great.
He's
wow.
a dear old fan. I'm really glad, you know, that he got it finished in time. So.
How exciting that you get to handpick the cars to go inside. Wow. Well, I mean, you know, you deserve the right. You've been with this thing a long time. Cool
well, it's
April
fun.
Nights.
You get to go to the other car shows, and then you see something that you like or might look really good at our show, and then you invite them, and they just feel so special because,
yeah.
you know.
No, I understand
yeah.
that. You know.
And some of the car shows around the state are different than what we do. A lot of them are strictly indoors,
uh-huh.
where ours is indoors and outdoors. And ours is not really a rod run. It's still a car show. So
now, what's the difference between a rod run and a car show?
Rod run is all outside, mainly, except good guys down in Bay Area. They do some inside. But mainly, it's just guys park, kick tires, talk about their stuff. And you know,
kick tires.
Yeah.
Today, there's a show in Shine at Napa Auto Parts.
Correct.
That's today, of course, April 13th, on Churn Creek Road from 11 to 3. Tomorrow, the registration begins.
Right, at the convention center. And if you have a late entry, sorry to say, it's going to cost you a few bucks more, but it's going to be well worth it because now that we have a little better clear on the weather, I think it's going to be a great weekend.
So if somebody decides, okay, I have this car, I just didn't want to do it, but oh, something broke and now I can. They come down there and then what do you assign them? A place or how does that work?
No, they just register and get their registration placket and number and all that sort of thing. And then when they bring the car in on Saturday morning, there will be people there to direct them where to park and so on and so forth.
For a show and shine, because on Wednesday you've got another show and shine at Shasta View Chevron.
Right.
And
Cross
also,
Petroleum puts that on.
Right. And then also there's going to be a participants and volunteers and sponsors dinner.
Right.
At the Foothill High School. Club Cougar Band's going to be there. But, okay, I want to
So you
enter.
Have a lot of these right. little things all over town. Yeah.
Okay, so I want to – okay, I'm going to enter. So I pay my money. I enter. Here's my car.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I want to go to a show and shine, do I have to tell somebody about it or just show up?
All the show and shines are free.
Uh-huh.
You just drive up. They put you in a little spot, park you along, and another thing. It's like a little rod run, a mini rod run. You just walk around, talk to people.
Okay,
kick tires, as I say.
Kick tires.
You know, look at everybody's cars, and it's fun. You meet all kinds of new people.
What's your favorite part of Cool April Nights?
My favorite part?
If you can, I know it's so much, but if you had to say, you know, there's only one event I can go see this year, what's it going
to
be?
Well, in 21 years, I've been to one cruise, and that was a blast. Dwayne and I had more fun with that. I mean, we drove people around in the cruise, and we had a good time.
One cruise?
21, because I'm in charge of the convention center. And I lock the doors because there's an awful lot of money sitting on the floor in there, and I'm responsible for it. So I take great pride in making sure that they're locked up tight. I've been to maybe two chamber mixers. Those are always a lot of fun at Crown Motors. They do an awesome job with all the food and everything. I don't know what to pinpoint being my favorite. I know one of them is Friday night when the doors are locked and everyone else is at the cruise, and I'm inside with John Lewis taking pictures of the cars, and there's nobody in there. And you have a chance to look around and see what you put together and what you've done. And John has a ball
That's
taking
great.
Pictures. He's so good at helping us. Yeah, it's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Kind of neat.
Well, you know, Dwayne is smiling down from heaven.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got to be. I bet you he's just, he's so present in this, putting together this event.
He's got to be proud of what everybody's doing. Yeah, it's just.
Bigger and better every year.
Yep.
And there's so much integrity involved in this event.
Yeah, the community really rallies around, too, you know, especially when we have good weather. Because if we have good weather, then people that come through the gate on Saturday is where we make our extra money to be able to give to the children's charities. That's where it all really happens. The rest of it, you know, we'll get sponsor money, we'll get this, but that also pays some of our bills.
Right.
And we have them, believe me.
Oh, I imagine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So the gate is important to for the charities and what we're trying to accomplish, what we're trying to do.
Is it hard to choose a charity? What's the process in doing that?
That's something the board does, and I'm not on the board.
Right.
They just pick it. They usually pick local stuff that they've heard about, maybe need some extra help. They've always tried to support Turtle Bay's children's programs and the wildlife thing. They've taken that on. You know, the Burn Center, let's see, what else have they done? Burn Center was big that year, that camp that they did up in Shingletown. I can't remember the other one. They did make a wish one year, just various things around the community which need help.
And so you don't know what the charity is till afterwards, until after you've gone through the event and then the charity's chosen?
Pretty much, they might have chosen it already. Mm-hmm. I'm unaware of that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But they usually pick one or two, three things and split the money up and go from there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's an economic boon to the city, of course.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. And then it also helps charities. And the other thing, too, is people that have worked so hard on their hobby, or it's just like probably for some people another lifestyle on it, have a chance to come out and show what they've done. And some of them, I'm sure, have worked on it for years. For this day, for that day that they're there for the judging and for people to walk by and just kind of like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's people, I wouldn't miss it for the world. I've been here every year, da-da-da-da-da. And it's a true story. I mean, they come from Oregon, Washington, Utah. They come from all over. Southern California comes up. They're, you know, it's just huge. We get sometimes 18 to 2,000 cars. So there's another show in China, too, that just has been going on for a while, and that's downtown. And I can't remember if it's Tuesday or Wednesday, but I know that Julie, I don't know if it's in there, Carl, but Julie from Need to Speed is huge on that. So if you want to give her a call, she'd be able to help you and tell you when it is.
Oh, that's great. Okay. She's so involved in the community as well.
She is, too. Downtown is her deal.
Women's Refuge is where you guys did register, right?
Yeah.
Today also, Sierra Oaks Assisted Living is going to have a cool show, show and shine beginning at 11. So that's the Sierra Oaks Assisted Living area.
And Keebler's Furniture is having one.
Theirs is Thursday, is it?
This is Tuesday.
Show
and shine for Keebler's from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. today.
Right, okay.
I think it's going to be clear for that.
I think it is, too. I think they should have some good weather and have a lot of fun. Yeah.
Okay, we've got to take a quick break here. It's Carl and the Bot. Our guest is Barbara Harrison from Cool April Nights. When we come back, we'll finish up on this. And we really appreciate Barbara coming in.
My pleasure.
This is KCNR 1460, Lily News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our guest is Barbara Harrison from Cool April Nights, and we're going to kind of finish up this segment. Phone line's here, 605-4567. How many people are involved in Cool April Nights from just
You mean volunteers?
Volunteers.
Gosh. I would say roughly 200.
200?
Really, by the time you figure the people involved, the day of parking the cars, and then we have like six or eight vendors back in the food court. And that they make a profit for their particular organization. But, there's just tons of volunteers. We've got the Asphalt Cowboys. We'll be doing breakfast on Saturday, and I'm not sure, I think on Sunday as well. That's always good. People love that because we have entertainment in the tent on Saturday. Local school kids come in and perform. after the breakfast. So it's a busy day on Saturday.
That'll be a lot of fun. I know you were talking about the downtown. That's actually April 15th. It's called Cool April Nights Downtown Park and Shine.
That's it.
It's going to be, again, April 15th. It's the 11th annual Park and Shine, hosted by Need to Speed. Classic cars, and registration begins at 8 a.m. And the judging ceremony will follow at 3 p.m. respectively. So Leatherby's is going to be barbecuing, and it's going to be a lot of fun out there.
They give out trophies, and, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I never get to go, but it's a lot of fun.
Well, you know, April 15th is such a day.
Man,
yeah, really.
You have Show and Shine out at Anselmo's. You've got Show and Shines in town. You have the tea parties on corners and walking across bridges, and it's just going to be
the town is amazing.
And then this weekend, I mean, you've got those events. You've got the Purple Heart golf tournament.
Golf tournament's happening on Saturday.
Happening Saturday too. I mean,
where's that at?
That's going to be out
Gold
at
Hills.
Gold Hills.
Okay,
and we're going to sponsor hole number one.
All right,
you may play.
I may, but you know, we'll see, because it's just, I mean, there are so many things going on. I mean, how can you even? You can't keep
track. Getting to be that way almost every weekend in this town. The people just rally around to help others and do these fundraisers. It's amazing.
Well, it's just, you know, and so many different events. You know, also the Banff Film Festival that night. Down at the Cascade Theater, and all proceeds are going to go to, I think all proceeds are going to the swim team.
They think they've got a couple
of swimmers that have some real, maybe even Olympic potential. So they're putting that on. This is a traveling worldwide traveling film festival that's coming here. And that's Saturday. I mean, this is like, if you say you can't have, you don't have anything to do.
You're lying.
You're lying. Or you're lying. That's it. You're just lying. Oh, I don't care. There's nothing to do already.
I'm dying my hair.
Yeah, really. How about those Niners?
You can probably just, you know, cruise too. You know, I mean, just hop in, get a car, get a ride.
Well, thank you, Barbara Harrison. We know that you do so much for our community, and it's so wonderful to have you on with us.
Thank you for
morning.
Having me. I've had
absolutely.
Fun. Thank you.
Well, this is not the last time. Okay. I'm sure there'll be other things that we can do that that will have you on. Because wait a minute. Now, didn't I just see you too? Also, I mean, at the Walk a Mile.
Yes, I'm on the board for Women's Refuge, so that was a big thing for us. We had a great time. Hope you did too. You look gorgeous. You should have seen him, guys, if you weren't there. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, it was. I've never done that before. And what a great cause.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad to see so many people show up for it.
It was great. And Bob and his bride helped us with the music and what have you, and they were our announcers, and they were great.
But the one thing
Very inspirational for me.
The one thing I was picturing is people coming off 5 to come through here, say, to have breakfast or lunch.
Yeah.
And as they're driving down, as they make that turn, and as we started off, what could they possibly be thinking of Reading? They looked at that group.
It's funny. Pat Corey yesterday at a chamber meeting said, I was coming through there, and I looked. I thought, what is that? Oh, that's right. Walk a mile. He just couldn't figure it out. It was funny.
Well, thank you, Barbara, for being our guest. And, again, it is the week. It's the kickoff for Cool April Nights. And don't miss the Show and Shines all over town today and all the beautiful events that are happening over the weekend.
And our great music in the tents on Friday and Saturday night, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. But
tell us the bands again.
The bands on Friday night and Saturday is Double Take. These are the twins, and they have their own band with them. And these kids are phenomenal. And then they play in the inside the auditorium, just the two of them, on Saturday afternoon for about 4 hours. So the music will be fabulous. They cover
a lot of songs. Yeah, Elvis,
they play,
I think,
everything. Yes, they're great.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you so much. We have people on the line. We'll get back to them as soon as we get back from these messages. Thank you so much, Barbara.
Thank you.
Carl Nabat, Free Fire Radio. It is 8:21, and when we come back, we'll have phones, and also the Tea Party leaders are here. Stand by for that. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl Nabat. Our phone line's here, 605-4567. This is KCNR 1460. Let's go to the phones. Norm, good morning. You're on KCNR.
Morning, Carl. Linda, how you doing?
Well, great. Thanks, Norm.
We've got a funeral tomorrow at the Veterans Cemetery.
Yes.
For retired Marine Master Sergeant Roy Hoppier Hopkins.
Yes.
He joined the Marines in 1940, and he served in the Carolinas, Guadalcanal, Saipan, and Okinawa.
Wow.
So we'd like to have as many people out there as possible tomorrow. His funeral will be at 11:30.
That's it.
Full honors, and we'd appreciate as many people showing up as can.
Okay, that's 11:30 at Igo, right?
11:30 at the cemetery.
Okay, now, and people that don't know, at Tobacco and Brews, his daughter, I believe it was his daughter that would bring him down.
Your what?
I believe that he would come down to Tobacco and Brew.
Yes,
and his
he
daughter.
Was active here in the Reading area.
Yeah, and his daughter his daughter would bring him down. And,
right.
And, you know, what a fine gentleman he is. And
he was.
At 11:30 tomorrow at Igo.
11:30 tomorrow at the cemetery.
Is there going to be an escort for him?
Yes, there will be an escort, and all three of them are involved, MIAP and PGR. And
when will the escort start, Norm?
Huh?
When will the escort begin?
The escort, they're going to, I have to read my papers here. Huh.
Anyway, we're going to talk about it tomorrow also. And,
okay, usually by then it's too late, and if people are
right.
got plans, they're not going to change them for something like that. But
it's a great effort. And at 11:30 tomorrow,
they're going to post the flag line at the funeral home, and that's at about 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Norm, thank you so much for your phone call.
You betcha. Take care now.
You bet.
Thank you, Norm.
Now you know that's a I knew Hoppy. And in the sense that, you know, that who he was and what a great American. And he did, you know, a Marine that fought all through the Pacific. And if you're watching that series, it kind of gives you an idea of what they were going through. Anyway, hey, our guest.
Good morning.
Great man. Bostonian Tea Party.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me, Carl and Linda. Appreciate it.
Well, you all have, the Tea Parties have been, well, you all have been an impact on this community for now it's about a year. I remember last year when it started.
Yeah, the history. You want to give a little history on our end?
Well, you know, Greg came to us and said, I want to start an organization, and it's going to be called the Tea Party, and it's Bostonian Tea Party. And we looked at him and said, okay. And he said, no, this is something that you know, it's starting in the United States. It's about no taxation without representation. And he wanted to talk about it on the show we had then. And our comment was, okay, we could do that, but do you have a phone number or a website? And he goes, it's just kind of the deer look in the headlights. And
I
he
had
goes,
the phone number.
You had
yeah.
the phone
Come
number.
Come on.
but no website. And he goes, I said, well, look, you know, if people are interested, they're going to need to have a website. So meeting was over. 4 days later, he comes back and he says, I have a website. And 2 months after that, 2,500, 3,000 people walked across the bridge.
That you organized.
Yes.
That you and your group organized.
I was going to say that it was not a single person by any means. It was a group of people who definitely put this together. So we started with a core group of three folks, and I greatly appreciate Sue Ann and Donna's contributions in the early start of things. And then, of course, the group grew from there.
Well, April 15th last year was a spectacular moment, a very moving moment for many people, young, old. It was a revival, if you will, of the American spirit. We felt it last year crossing that bridge. I think people were astounded at how many people showed up and were waving flags and just they were taking that American moment. It wasn't like it was, you know, the right or the left. It wasn't Democrat or Republican. It was people of all faiths walking across the bridge for this moment. And Greg, I just have to say that we felt a stirring of our soul that night.
Well, I don't think anybody was more astounded than we were, because in the beginning we were hoping for maybe 500 people. And a week out from the event on April the 15th, Tax Day Tea Party, first one, number one, we had upped our figures thinking maybe 1,000. As it turned out, we had between 2,300 and 2,700. And I think we caught the media flat-footed, because the media reported initially that there were a couple hundred people there. Well, they didn't really have a reporter out there taking a pulse of what was going on. And when we showed them the photographs of what was taking place, they impromptu did kind of a nose count and figured, well, they definitely had over 1,000 people there. And so they kind of stuck with a loosely defined number of 1,000. But our nose count, I think, was a little more accurate, even though it was still, a work in progress, and we figured 2,300 to 2,700. We were totally unprepared for numbers like that.
And so this year on April 15th, again, the bridge. Let's talk about what time are we going to be on the bridge and invite everybody to come along.
Okay, second visit, Tax Day Tea Party. We have entitled it the Sundial Liberty Festival, and this time we are prepared for a crowd, so we have a nice sound system, a stage. By the way, we have this wonderful MC who is going to be helping us out. Lieutenant Colonel Carl Bott is going to be our MC, and also we have this wonderful singer who is going to be helping us as far as some of the patriotic music, Linda Bott, who will be helping us there, along with many others as well. So, again, I want to thank you very much for, Carl, your contribution to our nation in the military, and both of your contribution to helping us put this together.
Well, we look at our community, and we look at having people get invigorated and get into the political process, you know. And as we've said, countless times, that there's different ways for people to be involved, and there's different political persuasions. But the big thing is that people get involved, and that we do it in a way that, hey, let's bring change that we want, but let's do it in the correct way. And I think that's what we support. And the fact is that there's a lot of stuff happening, and we appreciate the offer to be the master of ceremonies to get people on and off. And there's going to be a lot of people. A lot of people speaking. Many of the people running for office are going to be out there, and a couple other things too, like a symbolic crossing of the Sacramento in a boat.
Oh, you've heard about that.
Are there surprises too? I'm sure there's going to be. It really, I think, is again, if you missed it last year, you need to just experience what it is to be on that bridge with these people, and with your fellow Americans that are just. It's like the 4th of July celebration without the fireworks. We've got about 30 seconds left before we take a break, and we're here with a Greg Mann who heads up the Bostonian Tea Party, and you are listening to Carl and Linda Bott. Currently, 48 degrees. The time is 8:30. We're taking your call, 605-4567. This is Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly news talk radio. Good morning. Welcome back. Oh, are we getting patriotic? It's Hot Rods and the Tea Party. How do you like that? That's our morning. We talked about, oh, my gosh, we've covered the gamut, being nuclear armament and earthquakes and, wow.
Bad hair.
Now we have Yankee Doodle Dandy and, bad hair. We did talk about bad hair. This is KCNR 1460, currently 48 degrees. It's going to be partly sunny today with a high of 61. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Let's go to the phones. John, good morning. You're on KCNR.
Good morning, Linda, Carl, Greg. I don't really have a question. I just have a statement I'd like to make to Greg. I've admired your reasoned and sensible approach to activism, and I think you're doing a great job. And I really want to encourage everybody to take the opportunity on a Tuesday night to stop by Tobacco and Brew and visit the Bostonian Tea Party meetings. A whole different approach, very calm and very reasoned, and it's sensible. It's a good thing. Thanks very much for your work, Greg.
Thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it.
Bye.
Thanks, John. Let's talk about that, Greg. And the Tea Parties have been in the paper. In fact, they devoted almost a whole front Sunday section to it.
Yeah, there was a lot written.
Yeah, two Tea Parties. Why?
Well, I think that they. Oh, go ahead.
Well, let me clear this up a little bit. Both want the Constitution to be followed.
Yes.
Both are against heavy taxation.
Yes.
Both want conservatives elected.
Yes.
Okay. Yet it seems like we're diverse. We're kind of like splitting our cohesiveness like this. And by the way, Aaron, who leads up the Reading Tea Party, group will be on the show Thursday, and I'm going to ask her the same thing.
Sure, absolutely. And I think it's a wise question. It's a good question. People do need to understand that, for all intents and purposes, the Tea Party groups that are in the area, and a lot of people think in terms of two at this particular point. Actually, there are three in the area, and if you look at the broader area of Northern California, there are many, many of them. They have individual character, individual flavor. It is truly the premise of a grassroots organization. And other than perhaps some slight style differences, I think that we are essentially championing the same thing. But the style differences can make a lot of difference insofar as what resonates with people. So as I think the article was trying to point out, and to some extent I think fairly portrayed, the fact that there are multiple organizations is not necessarily a bad thing. In the beginning, when this all got started, in our particular case back in February of 2009, I was under the impression that, false or otherwise, that to split, to create fractures or whatever would rob some energy away from what's going on. I have learned in the process going forward that's not necessarily a case. I'm using this as an example. Last year, when we went to the Sundial Bridge for our first iteration of this, across the United States there were 800 additional, or a little over 800 additional tea parties that were taking place in communities across the United States. We were one of 800, or a little more than 800. This year they're talking about numbers, if you include Tea Party Patriots, if you include Glenn Beck's 912 Project, AFA, other organizations that are doing similar things, you're looking at perhaps in numbers of 4,000 to 5,000 of these tea parties taking place across the United States. And if the numbers are comparable to averages last year, which were in the neighborhood of 1,000, 1,000 to 1,200, we're talking about some substantial numbers of people. So the splintering effect that a lot of people are focusing the attention on, or the media is focusing attention on, is by no means undermining or robbing any efforts away from what's going on.
That would be
well,
a phone going
happens,
off right there.
You know,
that happens every so often.
At least we're not at a funeral.
And I know better than doing that.
Right.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. You know, the people, you know, the media, and I say the media, I mean the mainstream media, completely underestimated the Tea Party movement. And they said many disparaging words, and even obscene terms for the Tea Party movement. And yet, this year, this time around, I actually heard, I think it was Anderson Cooper, that said, you know, we completely misunderstood, we misread it, including myself. You know, Cooper said, which I thought was, because he was one of the ones that led the charge in saying, you know, bad things. I think that people from all the polls I've seen, that many, many of the people of the United States believe along the same lines as what the Tea Party espouses.
I agree. And I think there is an attempt right now by some, maybe not so much in the media, but from the opposition side, to paint an image that this is a volatile group of people. But again, as an example, using last year's Sundial Bridge, we were fully prepared to have a cleanup crew go through and clean up the area after we had 2,300 to 2,700 people there. You just expect there's going to be some trash on the ground and it's going to need to be picked up. There was not a single piece of paper. There wasn't anything to clean up.
Wow.
This is a responsible, respectful, this is a, well, you're dealing with people who are accustomed to taking care of themselves. They want to be left alone by this government. They want to have their freedoms and their liberties. They will act responsibly. They will follow the rules and the laws. Nobody needs to tell them what to do, and they are railing against the over-encroachment of government in their lives, the over-encroachment of government violating the very premise that our nation stands on, the Constitution.
And yet, there are extremists that are attracted to the Tea Parties.
Well, yes, but they're not part of our group. And yes, I will say that there are extremists attracted to it on both the right and the left, but they are not representative of the movement as a whole.
That's when we talk. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the movement. I want to talk about the claims that it's a racist movement, and that it's set up to make ensure that Obama failed. All right, this is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Wow, that's a Carl Bott song. Doesn't it remind you of banging your head?
Yeah, money
for
nothing.
We need to be riding our Harley. This weather's going to clear up here pretty soon. You know what?
Ride tomorrow.
You're going to ride tomorrow.
Going to go to the funeral and I go for that Marine tomorrow.
All right. I think that's wonderful. Time is 8:44 in the morning. It's 49 degrees. It's going to be a high of 61 today. Partly sunny. I like partly sunny, not partly cloudy. Partly sunny is a little bit more, makes my mouth want to crack on both sides and smile. Tobacco and Brew.
2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest walk-in humidor in the North State. Espresso Joe's. Place you can get coffee. They've been in business for decades in this city. What can you say?
I know we wanted to share with you quickly about Tobacco and Brew, that if you have that espresso maker that you've never pulled out of your kitchen, you know, that you maybe got as a present, you can take it down there, and they will teach you how to make the perfect cup of coffee. And I think that is so cool, because how wonderful to be able to know how to make a cappuccino and use that milk mister thing and do it properly. Okay?
All right. Let's go to the phones. Ron, you're on KCNR.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Carl and Linda and morning. Greg. I just wanted to comment. I was at a meeting last night, and someone says, well, are you going to the demonstration down at the Sundial on Thursday? I said, well, first of all, it's not a demonstration. It's a festival to celebrate our liberties. And Greg has put together a great lineup of readers that will read from the Constitution. I mean, this is vintage America. And it's a time to come down and literally celebrate liberty. So I wanted to be sure and make it clear that this is not a rally. This is not anything. It's a rally in the sense it's a liberty rally, but it's not a demonstration. It's an indication that we are very much interested in proclaiming our liberties, that this is the greatest country in the world, that we have freedoms, and that we don't want those freedoms taken away from us. And I just wanted to kind of make that point that everyone is welcome. If you believe in liberty, come on down and celebrate. You know, they're also having the Cool April Nights mixer that evening, and people could go over to the mixer and then come on over, because it's going to go on for a couple of hours, or come to the festival, then go on over to the mixer. I mean, whatever. But it's going to be a time to celebrate the fact that we are free and that we have liberties and that we're all proud to be Americans.
Absolutely. You know, there should be no anger there. You know, there's no anger at it. It's a it is a celebration. And we should, you know, and we should be celebrating our liberties more than just on the 4th of July and you know, Memorial Day, you know, Veterans Day. You know, we should be celebrating our liberties all the time.
That's right.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot for your phone call.
Very well said.
Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot, Ron. Okay, let's go back to, you know, we're going to cover everything that's going to happen, but I want to go back and people will say, well, you know, the Tea Party, you know, they're organized, they're getting paid and all this, and it's a place for racists to join.
That's an interesting perspective.
I've heard in the news, and as you have.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, of course, I think this is the way that some in the media would like to paint it. No, there is no room for racism in our organization. There is no room for anything in the way of religious card check. There is nothing in the way of even political ideology card check or partisanship, any of those things. We are and should be Americans. We are and should be patriotic to the founding principles, the Constitution, to our founding history, and anyone who wants to destroy that or to undermine that in some way, shape, or form, whether it's foreign enemies or domestic enemies, will take them on.
Okay. All right. So what's going to happen?
But I will say, we'll take them on peacefully.
Well, that's the way it should be.
That's the way it should be.
You know, peaceful change. It's one of the things that marks our country, and from a lot of different countries I've been in, when they've made changes of leadership, it usually, you know, there's been violence. And families get wiped out, hundreds, not thousands of people do. With the thing that is so great about our country is that we can have a complete change of ideology, which we did in this last election for many people. And what happens? Okay, you know, we don't like it, so what do? Okay, we march, but there's not people getting gunned down in the streets. There's not, there's no destruction. There's no civil war starting or anything like that. It's a great thing about this country. I love this country. Anyway, okay, we've got a couple minutes before the break. Let's start talking about what's going to happen then on Thursday. Because I know that Ron said there's going to be patriotic readings. I know Linda's going to sing the national anthem, but what else is going to happen?
Well, one of the things I want to focus on your program, because really I think this is something that we really need to be grateful for. And, Carl, you are one of the staunchest supporters in this community for our veterans. And so I'm going to begin at the end of the program, just in a synopsis. The tail end of the program is going to include Carl Bott and Dr. Ray John remembering our veterans and talking about that. So we really appreciate all that you do for the veterans. And we as a community, we as an organization, want to recognize your contribution towards that and the veterans at large. So the closing of our ceremonies will include your presentations, a benediction from Dr. David Nicholas, and we will be doing something rather special. It's called Echo Taps. Got to be there to hear this, to see this. It's very special. We have Steve Renfer and his friend George who are going to be doing that. Also, we have Rich Kinney from the Flag Center, who is once again going to be providing some outstanding historic flags from historical time periods from our beginnings, predating 1776, all the way through to modern-day contemporary flags. So come out and see the pageantry that is included, both flag-wise and banners-wise, principles-wise, quotes from founding fathers, quotes from our Constitution, excellent MC work, excellent singing and music, Americana style. It's going to be wonderful. And then we do have a roster of speakers, some of whom are candidates. Now, they are not going to be speaking in terms of their candidacy or anything having to do with the upcoming election, but they are patriots too. And we need to, as a people, as a group, begin engaging our politicians once again. In the beginning, I think it was important that the Tea Party movement speak out clearly as people, as we the people, etc., to our representatives. But now we need to engage our representatives. We need to get back together again, because we have a very, very important election coming up in November. And if we don't engage and if we don't sift through the available candidates that are there, we're going to have a problem.
Okay. We've got to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll finish up this segment of the show and we'll finish up here with Greg Mann, who is the head of the Bostonian Tea Party here in town, and finish up talking about what's going on with his Tea Party event on the 15th. Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. It is 8:53. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. Our guest is Greg Mann, Bostonian Tea Party.
Well, hello. Thank you. Welcome back.
Okay. We only got 4 minutes. So tell us wrap this thing up for us. I do understand there is an amphibious operation planned at the Sundial Bridge.
Yes. You had mentioned it a little bit earlier, and I got kind of a chuckle out of the fact that, the secret's out. Actually, it's not a great secret, but Patrick Jones and our mayor, Patrick Jones, and some of his friends are going to mount a crossing of the Sacramento, amphibious crossing of it, you know, kind of cast in the, historic perspective of Washington crossing the Delaware. So,
I love it.
It may be worth it just to see that.
Oh yeah,
see if they first if they make it across the Sacramento.
Well, get there early for it because they are planning on doing that while we are staging, getting set up. Things will kick off at 5 o'clock, and that's going to be the time period between 5 and 5:30 when people will be gathering at the North Shore. This will be on the upper area. Last year we discovered that down by the river under the Sundial Bridge deck, there's a horrible echo problem which is down there. And furthermore, we didn't have good sound equipment, so we've solved
that. It's hard to talk to 2,000 people with a bullhorn.
Yeah.
I guess you discovered that.
Yeah. Of course, remember, we didn't know that we were going to have 2,000 people there.
Right.
On the other hand, we have an excellent sound system that Chuck McKay is providing for us, and we're very pleased with that. It will be on the North Lawn area from the deck of the Sundial Bridge, and Patrick Henry Jones and his crew will be crossing at probably somewhere between 5 and 5:30-ish thereabouts. So if you want to see the crossing of the Sacramento, please come out early. Then we are also asking folks to, after all, this is a self-sufficient group of people, or should be, so bring your own lawn chairs, bring your own water, bring your own blankets. It's going to be picnic-style seating on the lawn. If the weather looks nasty in any way, shape, or form, bring your own umbrellas.
Well, that's it, you know, because we're talking independence here.
Independence, absolutely.
So we're wrapping up here, Greg Mann, leader of the Bostonian Tea Party here in Reading. Closing thoughts, Greg?
Well, I am delighted that so many people are taking to this particular movement. When we did this back April 15th of last year, I have to say with all due candor, this was a trial balloon. We had no idea what to expect. As it turns out, there was a lot to expect from this, and I think that there is a lot to expect from this in the future, particularly as we are headed to the 2010 elections, 2012 elections, et cetera. We didn't get into this mess overnight, and we certainly aren't going to get out of it.
It wasn't in the last year.
No.
It's been going on for years.
Absolutely.
You know, the thing is the one thing I just, and nobody has said it, and I hope it doesn't happen, we start talking third party. You know, that the Tea Party becomes a third party. But I think that everybody that I've seen nationwide when they mention this have all said, at least the vast majority have said, no, there's not going to be a third party. First of all, the Tea Party is not organized. I mean, I understand there's going to be a loose confederation of some of them, but there's no overall organization.
And the use of the term party doesn't mean party affiliation. It means Tea Party as in Bostonian or the Boston Tea Party.
Right.
And so there's a wrong interpretation of that particular word. No,
okay.
We are about a conservative movement, conservative to our Constitution, conservative to fiscal management, et cetera. And from there, then we can talk about other things.
Great. Okay. Well, you know, thanks a lot for being on. And like I said, the Aaron Ryan from the other Tea Party, the Reading Tea Party.
Reading Tea Party Patriots.
Yeah, Reading Tea Party Patriots will be on Thursday, and we'll talk about it because they also have events going on. We'll talk to them. Tomorrow our guest will be Reverge Anselmo, and he's going to be talking about what's going on with his show and shine and the things for Cool April Nights and just a number of other subjects that's going to come up, I'm sure. And Friday we have our very first remote. We're going to be down at Tobacco and Brew from 7 to 9 Friday morning.
By the way, I would also like to mention that third group. I'd like to say thank you very much to Peters and his Sons of Liberty group, too, whom we are cooperating with a lot.
Oh, okay.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Glad to have you aboard today. And thank you, Bob Belongi, our producer, and Carl and Linda Bott. We're signing off here this morning on Free Fire Radio for the day. Next up is Dennis Miller. If you're just tuning in, it's 8:59 in the morning, currently 49 degrees. It's going to be partly sunny today. Love having you here. We're taking your emails, Linda, at KCNR1460.com.
Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.